You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock on this 4th of July weekend. Yes, we are live in studio here to help you out. And you guys have been great calling us this morning.
Yeah.
And keeping us busy. We do appreciate that. Otherwise, we'd be talking about my kids and his cats. And that is not good radio. Even Carolyn would turn us off. So we're gonna go to your calls. 860-522-9842 is your number to call us if you have any kind of technology questions. We'll take a shot at it. Let's go to Adam in East Hartford. What's he got going on, Adam? You there? I gotta push the button harder.
The show.
There you are. Go ahead. There you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
I've enjoyed the show and I've called before.
Awesome.
I called you once about the scam from Facebook and also about something else about cybersecurity. But
yeah,
but I want to tell you something where I back you guys and then also ask for a comment because we got another question. But Dave Ramsey, before I get into the safety of a debit card versus a credit card, I don't agree with everything he says. Like, for example, he's right about you shouldn't buy a brand new car. You should buy a late model used if you can't afford it. But if you drive them till you drop, like as old as I am, 61, I've only owned 5 cars in my life. 2 were used and 3 were brand new. But if you buy brand new, you just keep it longer. You keep it 12 to 15 years. You don't get rid of it after 6 years, right? And then he was upset with mobile homes, but with the cost of rent in Connecticut, I was still able to deduct my taxes. But financial security, you guys are 100% right, and Dave Ramsey's wrong. If somebody has $30,000, $40,000 in a checking account, I don't want to go around using my debit card. I'd rather use a credit card than have someone clean it out. You know what I mean? Do you agree?
I do agree, and I would think it's crazy to have $30,000 or $40,000 in a checking account. It should be in a high-yield savings, but I have nothing to do. I'm not a financial guy. But you're right. I think credit cards are safer. If somebody gets into your bank account, you still have FDIC insurance and they should be able to replenish that.
True. I mean, you have that protection, but just there are explicit protections built into credit card transactions that don't exist for debit transactions.
Yeah. So
exactly. I've been paying my bills by check, but I had to leave the workforce early in December due to some health issues. Mm-hmm. And the company picked up the first half year of COBRA. In the last 6 months, I've been mailing them checks. Because I didn't know if I wanted COBRA deducting $1,000 a month out of my checking account. You know, I mean, I felt safer mailing the check early. What do you guys think?
So believe it or not, I would tell you to use checks as little as possible. When you write checks and mail checks and they end up in people's mailboxes, the bad guys even are going right into the blue mailboxes, stealing the checks out, whitewashing the checks and writing whatever they want on them. So I would tell you to use some sort of bill pay service through your bank if you must send a check, or do some sort of direct communication from your bank to whoever you're paying versus writing a check these days. You stop doing it because the bad guys are literally picking them out of the mailboxes. We see it across our clients. They're getting impacted by this. It's ridiculous. So,
yeah, just a couple weeks ago, I heard from a customer that had that happen to them.
Yep.
Now, in their case, the bank detected the check that was attempted to be passed.
Right.
And they rejected it. So they, you know, they were on it, but they have they now have a positive confirmation set up with their bank.
Right.
Every time they write a check, they report the check number to the bank.
And the amount.
And the amount. And the check, the bank will not pay it if those things don't match.
Well, positive pay, believe it or not. Or,
yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, gentlemen, thanks for always keeping us cybersecurity safe and all your advice and tips, all right?
Our pleasure. Thank you, Adam. Good luck.
Have a good rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye. Yes, don't leave $40,000 in your checkbook. Put it in a high-yield savings. let's go on to Dan in Bristol. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, folks.
Morning.
Thanks for being around for the holiday weekend. Much
sure.
appreciated. And but that previous caller, that scares me because I have mailed checks many times before to pay bills.
I know.
And well,
I
think, you, sometimes you still have to, but yeah.
But that's a good thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm calling is our stepson decided to borrow an iPad that belonged to us, which we didn't know about. We didn't realize he had taken it. And, of course, he put in his own login ID and password. And we finally got a hold of it after like 5 years.
okay.
We were tearing the house apart for years looking for this. That's got it. No, no, it's in that drawer. No, it can't be. You know, going crazy. And finally we got it back from him. And, of course, he doesn't remember the password, so we can't reset it. And I've tried to do a restore using the iTunes, but that isn't working either.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if you folks had any idea how, because he can't remember his password, and he has issues, and I don't think he's able to reset it, so I could actually go in there again. And even if he did reset it, I'm not so sure it would work, because it might be stored in the innards of this machine, and it's not going to recognize a newer password.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I'm wondering, what can I do to get this thing back to factory default?
Number one, there may not be anything you can do. Apple purposely makes it difficult to do what you're trying to do, because the whole design of their security system on the devices is to keep people from breaking into other people's iPads. Now, they do have a recovery method,
yeah,
and it sounds like you followed that already. We can still post an article that goes over that for anybody else that's interested, and maybe you can go over it and see if there's a method in there that you didn't try yet. But ultimately there may not be a way for you to get into it, and you may end up just doing a factory reset on the device,
right?
Which will wipe the user data from it.
Yeah.
But it will at least get the thing back and you can use it again for yourself.
Well, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to get the factory reset, but
okay.
You can't do that unless you know the password.
I'm fairly sure that you can.
Yeah. We'll put some links up there.
Yeah,
there's some ways to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, you have to connect to a computer from what I'm reading. If you can't get past it, because sometimes, Dennis, they ask for some sort of PIN number, pins and stuff like that. But you should be able to do that factory reset. We can give you a bunch of different options as to how to do it. You can always bring it to the fruit stand in the mall. And
the Genius Bar, yeah.
See if they can help out.
Yeah, I mean, that might be my only option, but I'm hoping to avoid that. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's basically, there's ways to do it, to get it to factory fresh. It's just a couple of settings. I don't have an iPad, so I don't know exactly, but I found a few different things on here. But Dennis is right. Recovering a password with Apple is very difficult. The idea being, they want your data secure. So
right.
Factory
fresh. I just want to get the factory reset so I can log in with my own Apple ID and get it set up for our use, which is what it was originally intended for to begin with.
Right.
But okay, so I'll look forward to that that posting. I'm assuming probably won't see it till next week sometime.
No, you'll see it right now. Dennis is right now posting it.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh,
okay.
We're instant service.
There's an Apple support article about it.
Nice.
It tells you how to do it.
All right.
You
wow.
do have to connect it to a Mac or a PC.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was reading. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Our pleasure.
All right, guys. Thank you for your help with this. Really much appreciated. And hope you folks have a great weekend. Happy 4th.
You too.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. It was weird that you have to connect it to a computer to do it.
Yeah, Mike G was posting about something called DFU, which is device firmware update, which is another kind of a recovery operation on the device. I think what Apple has for this is a similar process.
Gotcha.
It's related to that.
All right. So we'll get him set up. He can start over again. And let's go on to Joe in East Haven, who's got a question. What's going on, Joe?
Few questions. I have a printer, fax, all whatever, all in one. I guess it's about 10 years, and the company decided to basically, I guess they did something, whatever they did, I can't fax anymore. I can't update, I guess, because it's too old.
Well, that doesn't sound right. What do you mean, whatever they did? They just turned it off and said no faxing for you, Joe?
When I try to fax, it keeps on saying line busy, and then I tried another number, the same thing happened. Then I went to a public fax, and the people received it. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't their fax. It was mine. When I called the company up, they says, June 6th, whatever, we did something, and you can't update it, and there's nothing you could do.
But wait, but it did work in 33% of your tries, it worked?
No, it didn't. It worked about a month ago.
Yeah.
And then when I tried recently last week or whatever it was, a week and a half ago,
yeah,
I kept on getting the other fax saying line busy.
Okay.
And then I tried another fax number and they said line busy.
Yep.
And then I called the company up.
Yeah.
And they said the people I was trying to fax to, they had their IT work at their end. Mm. They says we're okay.
Yeah.
I went to a public fax and they were able to receive it.
That's what
so
I'm getting
it was
at.
My fax.
Yes,
it was my fax machine.
Well, not if they received it. If they received it, it's your fax machine worked, right?
No, I did it from a public fax.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So you went use a different service to send it? Okay.
Right, then they got it. So it is my fax machine.
All right, then here's what you're going to do. Is this for business?
No, the thing is, the reason why I get a fax, I probably use it twice a year, but it comes in handy. It saves me from running down someplace to get it done and all that.
I agree.
I called the company up who makes it, and they says, yep, they did something, you know, the thing, there's nothing you could do about it.
I hate that. So if that's what they did, they broke it in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure why they would break the handshake between fax machines, but it's an analog scenario where it's actually handshaking. They squawk between each other and say, hey, are you my fax? Yeah, I'm your fax. Go ahead and send me.
Yeah, generally all that stuff takes place at a hardware level.
Right. So they must have broken on purpose. I don't even understand that.
They must have written some pretty deep firmware that actually dove into the hardware and told it to not work.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could subscribe.
Can I mention the name of the company that did it?
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Canon.
Canon, huh? So it's an old Canon all in one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's all in one and everything. Then, so basically, there's nothing I could do. I got to get a new one, correct?
Maybe. Wow, are you at a race?
No, I was just warm walking.
Okay. Have you heard of eFax?
eFax?
Yeah.
I may have.
So eFax is a service, a monthly subscription, where you basically turn an email into a fax. So it's roughly $20 a month, and you'll be able to send and receive faxes using a service called eFax. And if you have a number that's your specific number, you can port that number over, and people can fax you.
Now, that wouldn't work, because in this case, I have printed documents. And for $20 a month, it'd be better if I just buy it in the fax machine at $240 a year.
Yeah, if they're printed. Yeah.
Well, you could scan the printed document in your Canon.
Yeah.
And then e-fax the PDF.
When I have 10 pages, it's a pain in the neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But
okay.
My other question, it just comes in handy. My other question, this is interesting, and I call them up more than once. Epson says, if I get their fax, I have to get another line. I have to get a dedicated line. Did you ever hear of such a thing?
No, that makes no sense. So again,
I called more than once. They says, nope, you cannot use your phone line. You need a dedicated line.
Now, that's crazy. Now, it's only on the incoming you might have trouble, but your fax machine should take it first. Should be trying. You should be able to configure your fax to accept fax call. it'll be easier on a dedicated line because, of course, if I'm calling you, it might squawk. But the newer fax machine should be able to detect whether it's a voice call or a fax call.
And well, Epson says, nope, I call more than once. So that gets me back to, even though I'm kind of mad at Canon,
yeah,
it's about my only option. How are their printer faxes? Are they pretty good?
We don't come across them much in our base. Most of our stuff is going to be a Brother or HP. I would tell you to look at HP. They still have multifunction devices that are out there. Most of them should be able to discern between a voice call and a fax call.
Yeah, they'll
like
often
I
be able to do
Epson
that.
More
yeah,
than once.
I hear you.
I don't even know.
I even called
it. Oh.
Look out. Look out, Joe. You okay?
So basically, they could do. Other companies could do the same thing what they did.
Correct.
Lot, right?
Yeah.
Just make it obsolete. All right.
Yeah. That can happen, Joe. I don't know why they would do that.
It is about 10 years old, so I guess I really can't complain, but just, you know.
No, I would complain. I think it's awful to break something that works.
Yeah, why would they do that?
I wasn't too happy about it.
Yeah.
They said there was an update. They said June 6th, whatever it was, there was some kind of update, mm-hmm. and there's nothing to do. And there's basically, you can't do it. There's no, you know, that's it.
There's no undoing it. No firmware you can. Did you do any firmware checks, or you have a new firmware update you could have tried? They did an update per se, but you would have had to do a firmware update yourself. So you could try that on the Canon. Do a firmware update.
How do I do a firmware update?
But roll back. See if you can get an older firmware.
Yeah, he hasn't even done any firmware update, I bet. Oh. I bet you that if he updates his firmware, it might speak better to whatever software he's using, and it might work again. But a firmware update you have to do by following the manual instructions on the Canon itself and go to the Canon site and see if that model is out there and see if they have a firmware that's got a newer date on it than maybe when you bought it 10 years ago. And maybe by applying that firmware, it'll work again. Because it makes no sense they'd break it.
No, I was surprised. Which, I tell you, Canon used to be, I liked them for the customer service. It used to be, you know, free for the longest time. But now.
Now we hear you. But try the firmware, Joe. I got a feeling you might have some good luck. Firmware update. We'll find a link for the firmware of the Canon. What's the model?
It's a model. I was at M6492, I believe. M6492, I believe.
All right, 6492. We'll try to find that.
They recently did this. They think they said June 6th.
I understand, Joe, but a firmware is not going to happen unless you tell it to. Their software update can happen, sure. That's on your PC side, but a firmware update is on the machine itself. So I'm wondering if you get that thing current, that it'll work with whatever update they did on June. For you on the computer side, you marry them together, and you have success.
Well, would I do it from the printer or from the computer?
You're going to have to RTFM, read the flipping manual, and we're going to give you the link to that, and you'll be able to apply that firmware the way they're going to tell you to do it. Now, if there is no current firmware and it's a 10-year-old firmware, nothing's going to happen. But if there's a newer firmware, you might find a solution there, and then you don't have to buy anything because I just can't see that they would break. Faxing, it makes no sense.
You know, I still could copy. I still could print from you know, it's wireless. I still could print from the computer. Is that? But this is just it's the fax.
Yeah,
like
I hear you.
Says, I use it twice a year, but I had to run to a place. It's just time consuming and things like that. If I had to scan it, it's a pain in the neck.
I got you, man. I hear you. We'll try to find that.
Very good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Joe. Good luck.
Bye now.
All right. Bye bye. Firmware updates, I bet you, is going to help him. Because I can't see Canon as a company doing that to him on purpose.
Yeah, right? That's really devious.
Yeah. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls, 860-522-9842. Four lines wide open. We went through all the calls. So if you got anything you want to bring up on this 4th of July weekend, we're here to be helpful if we can. We'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right. We are back. Going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. As we've been doing some research here on Canon, there's an article here. Canon was sued over its all-in-one printers that stopped scanning when the ink ran out. You don't need any ink to scan something. $5 million, customer seeking a $5 million award, class action. That might be a little much for that problem, but you shouldn't have your printer not operate if it's an all-in-one. What is it all? Is it all or nothing?
Yeah, literally, yes.
Yeah, and that really shouldn't be the case. So if you don't have any ink, and a lot of printers do this. They refuse to work if one of the cartridges is out. So that's kind of frustrating too. You're kind of held hostage by your printer. I will not print unless you put some magenta in there. Well, I only want to print in black and white grayscale. Nah, I'm not printing. No magenta. Again, that kind of stuff shouldn't be the case to force people to buy something that they don't even need to use. So. But we'll find the firmware for our buddy there, for Joe.
Yeah, it's posted to the website and it's going up on Facebook.
So there is new firmware out there?
There is no new firmware.
Ah.
There is firmware from 2022 for that model.
Okay. So it should be newer than he's got.
It should be newer than what, yes.
Yeah, because he's never done it, I'm sure.
Probably not.
All right.
Very few people do update firmware on things like that.
But when things fail like that, that's the first place you should go.
Yes.
Get it up to date. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, another half an hour left. Four lines open for you. Everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you are on our Facebook page over the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, basically you just ask us to join, and if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in, and you can get all the links there. And if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, Mike G posts everything there as well. We'll be right back. And we are back on this 4th of July weekend. Hope you're having a great weekend out there. We deserve it after 16 solid weeks of rain.
Yeah, this is the first Saturday in a long time that we haven't had rain.
Don't jinx it. Carolyn thinks we're going to jinx that. We don't have that kind of power.
Oh.
You know? Is this the first time you haven't won $1 million? Oh, don't jinx it. I don't have got that kind of power. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. But as we wait for your calls, as usual and customary, we have some more technology news out there for you.
We do, and this is kind of a follow-up to an older story. Earlier this year, Microsoft announced that the blue screen of death that happens when the operating system has to halt because of a usually because of a memory writing fault. And by memory, I mean RAM, not storage. They're changing that from being having a blue background to a black one.
Wow. Right? I wonder how many
that was,
in a committee.
That was news at the time.
Yeah.
And when I heard the story, I'm like, well, what the heck does that mean? Yeah. I mean, what does the color matter that much?
I don't know.
Anyway, this is kind of a follow-up. It comes from Windows Latest, which is kind of a website that I've found that does get very recent news.
All right.
And they show screenshots of what the new blue screen of death or black screen of death screens look like. And the thing that I see, and the article goes over it, is that it looks very much like a Windows update screen where it has big text in the middle that's telling you that it's updating or whatever it is. And in the case of these screens, it looks very much like what you see when a Windows update has broken and it's rolling it back.
That'd
and
be confusing.
The problem with it, it isn't very clear that you just experienced a, you know, a blue screen or an OS halt. And that's going to be a problem because people aren't going to understand what they're being told. And it's kind of important because anything that causes, you know, a halt like that is something you got to fix. You got to do something because it's going to keep happening.
Right.
It's not the type of thing that gets better over time.
And there's no frowny face, right? With the,
The frowny face is going away. Which is probably nice because I think that's very annoying. But at any rate, the message that you get is less clear than it was. The way that they presented them before. And that is going to be a problem going forward. It really is.
I believe it, and I'm not surprised either. So we'll see how we deal with those, the new black screen of death on your machine. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Laura in Cheshire first. What's happening, Laura?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks again for taking my call yet again. My question is relative to the conversion from Windows 10 to Windows 11. And specifically, my question is this. I have an older HP. It probably is 6 or 7 years old, and it still runs good. But I believe my understanding is it can't be upgraded to Windows 11.
It's possible.
I think it's pretty possible. So my issue is that with my work situation, they're going to obviously require everybody to have Windows 11. So I think what I'm asking you is my only out, my only recourse is to purchase a new machine.
So you're,
I mean, there's nothing, if they're saying, you know, it's probably not upgradable, then, I mean, it's not upgradable. I'm remoting in on it like a remote situation from home.
Gotcha. So number one, your work, depending on what type of work you do, should be providing you the equipment, because when you use your machine to do remote work, whoever has been using your machine before you did the work could have been doing all sorts of stuff with it. You could you could have inadvertently surfed somewhere that causes malware to be delivered to be delivered to your machine, and that now you're going to get on your work system, and they really should be providing you with the computer, number one. Now, if your work is not that when it comes to data worrisome, whether it be HIPAA related or financial or even government, then that's maybe not as big a deal. But it stinks that they're going to make you buy a computer to do your work for them. Unless you're, are you part time? Are you some sort of contractor?
No, I'm full time actually, and it is government.
Oh my gosh!
Well, here's the thing. I mean, to be fair to them, they do provide one laptop.
Yeah.
But which is very slow, extremely slow for the type of work I do. For one part of the work I do, so I do use that for some of it, but. For the stuff I need to like accomplish really more quickly, my machine's faster. Believe me, you know, it's the government, right? Everything's slow. So what they provided is slow. Mine's faster. That's sort of the dilemma I'm in.
Yeah. Well, their systems suck if they don't know that you're connecting with your machine. Number one, as a government connection. But I hear what you're trying to do. They shouldn't even allow your machine to connect to their systems because it's not theirs. But you might be forced.
Yeah, I think after that October date, I think that what they're saying is if you're not Windows 11, you're not going to be able to connect remotely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess you're sort of confirming that I need to, if I want to do what I just said, I need to go get one with Windows 11.
Yeah.
And be done with it. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I mean, that's kind of what I thought you'd say, but I just thought maybe there was some hope because when I call you guys,
there's a tool. There is a tool you can use, right? What's the tool, Dennis? She can use that checker. There's a Windows 10 to 11 checker.
Yeah, there's
there.
A Windows health checker.
Yeah.
And it will it'll test your system to see if it can go.
Right.
And if it can't, it'll tell you why. In some cases it's going to be because of a TPM or trusted platform module, which is a piece of hardware in the computer.
Right.
And that may have been disabled in the BIOS on the computer if it's a little bit older.
Then just turn it on.
And all you would need to do is turn it on and then run the checker again. It'll say, hey, you passed, and away you go.
So we'll put the link to that tool up there so you can check that before you go buy a computer.
Okay. That's helpful. That's something I didn't know. So see, you were helpful.
We tried. See,
there was good news, there was bad news, and then there was some potential good news. So I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you, guys, and have a great weekend.
You too, Laura. All right. Bye-bye. So the issue, though, that really worries me is there's so many businesses, organizations, government agencies that allow just any computer to connect to their systems, and they shouldn't be. You know, there's corporations out there that won't even let you put a third-party monitor on their existing equipment because, again, there's a risk. So, you know, A, if you're in business and your people are connecting with their home computers to your business to work remotely, you're just literally opening yourself up to potential issues. And you shouldn't be doing that. You should be providing your people with the proper hardware that's got the proper EDR technology, web defense technology, email defense technology, MDR technology, vulnerability scanning technology. All should be on that business system. And don't have your people log in with the machine that their 12-year-old was using for homework or running ChatGPT on for all who knows nowadays, that you then would sit down and then do your work on. Because it's, again, they could have come across something that delivers that malware to the computer, which then delivers it to your business. So we're serious about that. Please keep that in mind. Let's go to Scott in Winstead. What's going on, Scott? I wonder why this line. Go ahead, Scott. The line two just doesn't want to pop. It's me. The button doesn't click. So go ahead, sir.
On my laptop, updated Windows, and then it was reloading and would stop, reloading, stop. So then I took the nuke app option.
And the nuclear option?
Out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought so. But, it's doing the same thing after reloaded Windows.
Okay, so you're not getting a full boot?
No.
Now, when you said what did you end up doing when you say you took the nuclear option? What did you end up doing? Just so we understand what you think you did.
Reloading Windows, wiping everything out and reloading it.
From a disk or from a recovery?
The recovery thing. They have options in there.
Okay. So you use the recovery to recovery mode to do the factory reset.
Yeah.
Okay.
And same results.
Yeah.
I would say offhand, it's got to be either in your drive, whether it's an SSD or a hard drive, or it could be in the motherboard, or it could be RAM, which is attached to the motherboard, but you might be able to replace it.
How old is the machine?
It's brand new. I used it less than 10 times.
Wait, you've used it less than 10 times, and so that doesn't mean it's young.
I just bought it.
Oh, you just bought it. Okay, so it's under warranty. Yeah.
I would, if it's under warranty, call the manufacturer.
Yeah, bring it back.
And make them deal with it.
I didn't call, but I tried to talk to HP.
Yeah.
And all they said was, limited protection, blah, 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 this and that.
Limited protection.
That's all they
said. What does that mean? I don't know what unlimited protection means.
That's all. And then that was it.
Hmm. Did you buy it online or did you get it at a store?
I bought it online.
Online. Hmm. Well,
I bought this laptop from HP online.
Yes.
I did have a problem early on, like 3-4 months after I got it.
Yep.
I called them. They helped me.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no squawking about limited protection.
That makes me wonder what you got, unless you got a refurbished one. If it's refurbished, that would be a limited type of thing where you'd have like 30 or 90 days. If it was brand new, you should get at least a year.
Okay.
So
because that's what it said.
Yeah.
So I should call.
Yeah, get on there. Get on call. Call the support number. Support.hp.com should have a number for you to contact them. And get some help. But it sounds like you got a drive problem, RAM problem. You got a physical problem.
It's hardware.
Machine. Yeah.
Yeah. At some level, there's hardware that's no good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that. All right, Scott. Give him hell. Give him hell.
I will.
All right, sir.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
You got it. Bye bye. Yeah. That thing's.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Not booting like that after a factory wipe and reload. Not much you can do other than just deal with that issue. So we're going to be here for, again, another 15 minutes till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. I did want to bring up this. Supremes uphold Texas law that forces age check before viewing adult material. So the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that Texas's age certification law for viewing sexually explicit content is valid, meaning that viewers of such material will have to prove their age. Lovely. That's a good thing, right? You shouldn't have folks accessing stuff that is deemed for adults. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. But the problem is, it's so defeatable, right? So in Texas, you can go ahead and put this law together and says, if you're in Texas, you can't look at this material. But because of the technology called VPN, you can represent that you are in Iceland if you want, right?
Yeah.
So the idea here is that these laws are not doing what they need to do. If you really want to keep kids off this stuff, you have to approach it differently.
Yes.
Like saying websites that deliver this stuff have to confirm your age, not that you do it the other way around.
Right.
So, I mean, it's great that the Supreme Court's agree. I do too, but it's useless, guys. It's useless. These kids were getting around this since the 90s.
I know.
Right? VPNs were used in the early 90s to get around the school filters that were in there.
Right.
So I don't understand why by the year 2025, folks don't get that. So keep writing your laws, but you're not writing them right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open on this 4th of July weekend. We'll be right back. There's a classic for you.
Oh, yeah.
Every what? Is it the seventh inning we hear this usually? Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
So.
Seventh inning stretch.
We're going to be, speaking of stretching, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And as we wait for your calls, you want to bring up anything, Dennis?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up something that was in the news a few weeks ago, and now there's another story about it.
All righty.
You may have heard that Trump's chief of staff, Susie Wiles, had her phone hacked.
Yeah.
And somebody was sending out fake emails and I think voicemails to people that were in her contacts. And, of course, she's got some very high-level contacts around the world. Mm-hmm. Very important people that shouldn't be getting these messages.
Right.
At any rate, the FBI had given some advice to the White House staff about this. Mm-hmm. And they also gave it out to Senate staffers. Okay. But Senator Ron Wyden, our favorite senator.
Yes.
He has a little to say about the kind of advice the FBI was giving.
Ah.
And he considers it plain vanilla and remedial only.
Mm.
Things like don't click on strange links that are texted to you.
Right.
Turn off Bluetooth, you know, really basic stuff that you've heard before. Part of the problem is that what hit Susie Wiles and what can hit, you know, Senate staffers and other people like that are what are called zero-click attacks, where a bad guy can actually invade the phone data without making you do anything. So you could be walking down the street.
Yep.
It doesn't matter that they don't need to send you phishing emails or phishing texts.
Right.
They can get some or all of your phone data through different kinds of hacking tools. Now, there are features on iPhones and Android that make that harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the advice, according to Senator Wyden, that is the advice that the FBI should have been giving, but they weren't.
Right.
And they don't appear to even know about these features.
Well, that's not good.
And I will tell you what they are.
CISA knows.
They do. I will tell you what they are. On iPhones, it's called lockdown mode. And on Android, it's called advanced protection mode.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you need it in the latest iOSs, I would think.
Well, you would need a recent one. Yeah, I think these features came out within the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be that recent.
Yep.
But anyway, there's a article by Brian Krebs about what Ron Wyden had to say.
And then you're going to get a lot of great information because Brian does a great job explaining things.
He's like the best.
So that's a common issue too. So if you've got a senator telling the FBI that the advice they're giving is too basic, two senators, just understand what we're dealing with on a daily basis too. So I was at Disney recently, and I was with future in-laws. Hey, what do you recommend for securing your system? I said, well, don't get on any kind of Wi-Fi at all anymore. Just use your cellular connection. Don't get on any public Wi-Fi. Turn off your NFC, right? You can turn off your Bluetooth. Turn off any of that communication going back and forth that's out there that the bad guys can try to hook into. The other issue that is going on, and I actually brought this up on Tech Tuesday, but there are fake cell towers out there too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah.
And typically used by law enforcement. They're called Stingray. But the latest Android 16 will warn you if you are on some sort of fake cell system and be able to say, hey, you're not on the right, you're not on a real legit system. Now, along with law enforcement, the bad guys can do the same thing. They can put up their own fake cell towers that seem correct. Your system connects to it, and then they're trying to glean or get access to the same thing that Dennis talked about earlier. So you need to be less open about your devices. Now, of course, you turn off NFC, guess what? You can't really use that wallet that was discussed about earlier.
Right.
You can't make those contactless payments using your cell phone. But I would recommend, frankly, use your card. Right? Let it be the thing talking to the payment system. But when you have a senator tell the FBI they're not giving us enough good information, you know we have a problem. CISA would give, I'm sure, much better information. And I'm surprised he didn't reference them, because they would be able to tell the folks in Congress what they should be doing. And I would recommend that they don't even allow Congress to have different flavors of phones. You should have a congressional phone, or even the White House staff should have its own specific high latest configured secured system.
Right, and actively managed
right.
by their IT.
Right,
so yes. So that all these features are turned on for you. You don't need to turn them on for yourself.
And the sad part will be that they'll then outsource that management to some third world, and somebody in Uzbekistan will be connecting and helping the White House with their stuff. I hope not. But yeah, that's an interesting thing that the senator's talking about. We'll put a story up there. Brian Krebs will give you a great explanation. The other thing, too, I read, we talked about this before, where ChatGPT got its butt kicked by an Atari 2600 playing chess. And so the same guy who did that test said, I wonder if Microsoft's Copilot will do any better. And the funny thing about this article is that Copilot had an odd arrogance about it. If you read it, if you read it, Caruso is the guy who's doing this this study with having the AI play chess. And he goes, Copilot says, it claimed it could think 10 to 15 moves ahead, but figured it would stick to 3 to 5 moves ahead because the 2600 is suboptimal. So it's going to be able to capitalize on that. And of course, it kept boasting that it could make a strong effort to remember previous moves and maintain continuity in gameplay. So our match should be much smoother. So the guy even warned Copilot and said, hey, just so you know, buddy, ChatGPT didn't know where the pieces were. Are you sure you're able to do this? And it just kept talking about how advanced it was and was going to be able to beat the 2600. Now, the 2600 is 250,000 times less powerful than Copilot or any kind of AI. But of course, it crushed it. And the problem is these AI large language models do not understand or are not capable of remembering where things are. And in chess, you need to be able to do that. So Copilot got its butt kicked. We'll put a link up here for you. You can take a look at it. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this holiday weekend. We do appreciate it. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, as always. Mike G for posting everything over to our Facebook page and our X news feed if you need that. And, of course, Dennis posted everything here over to ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Stick around for Healthy Rounds. Dr. Alessi will be here. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you guys next Saturday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.